Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
And so without any further ado, we're going to ask our first speaker to come up. Brother Marty Sesma. Let's receive him by saying praise the Lord.
Good morning, Amazing Grace family. Good morning, YouTube and Facebook. Glorious Sunday. We all live in a blessed time right now, regardless of what's going on outside of the world today. We're all here. We're all alive. We're all breathing. And we all have our health for the most part, right? Today, my message is going to touch every one of us. Because it's something we all deal with. The title of my message today is To Fear or Not to Fear. And as corny as that title might sound, you know, it really, really has a lot to do with everything we go through. And fear is the most common and present emotion known to man. Fear is the first thing we face coming out of the womb. Fear is a fundamental human emotion that arises in response to threats. Whether they are real or imagined, it's an unpleasant emotion characterized by feelings of distress, apprehension, or alarm. Fear serves an important role in survival by preparing to cope with potential danger. Now, this is per Google. But in the Bible, it frequently addresses fear, presenting it both as human emotion and something overcome through faith in God. It highlights the fear of the Lord, which is often associated with reverence, wisdom, and obedience. As well, unhealthy fear rooted in doubt and anxiety. Now, many verses encourage us believers to find courage and strength in God's presence as promises, assuring us that He is with us and will not forsake us. And before I keep going, I just wanted to pray for this message today. So if you guys bow your heads and pray with me. Heavenly Father, I just pray today, Lord God, first and foremost, giving You thanks, Lord God, for waking us up today and bringing us out to church, Lord God, getting us all here safely. And I'm just thankful for everything You do for every person here and every person following You, Lord God. We're thankful for all the graceful things You do for us every day, Lord God. And we just pray today, I pray today, Lord God, that You fill me with Your Spirit, Lord God, and a message that will reach out to everybody who's facing any fears today, who are having any doubts, Lord God, that You could touch their lives, Lord God, and lift up their spirits and their hopes, Lord God. And I just pray today in the mighty name of Jesus, and I say amen. Amen. So, this is something I had been working on since the first time Pastor asked me to speak, and it was just like too much to go through. I could probably spend hours on this. There's 365 passages in the Bible that speak about fear, whether it's fear of God or fear of man. It's just something that is more common than we think, like every single day. And most of us, we could use common sense, you know, hopefully, to make the right moves in this world. You know, we're not just gonna be careless and we'll use common sense, but the Bible if you use it as a tool, as your guide, everything you need to know about dealing with fear is right in that book. So today, I'm going to speak on 3 points of fear, and I will break down some Bible verses as well. First one I'm going to talk about is fear as a natural human emotion. The Bible acknowledges that fear is a natural human emotion, especially in the face of danger or uncertainty. Now, Jesus himself experienced the face of anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26:36-38. If you guys want to go there now. Verse 36, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. What profound searing emotion Jesus must have felt as his arrest drew near, grief and extreme anguish. The phrase even to death refers to a sorrow so overpowering that it almost kills. This intense anguish is further proof that Jesus was completely human as well as fully divine. Right? I mean, for those of you who have had a chance to watch The Chosen, you know, it's a production, but like Pastor Fee has said about the House of David, they're starting to kind of like put real production and try and put real emotion into these stories. So what he was going through at that time is, it's hard to, you know, when you read it, you're just reading. You don't see emotion. You don't see facial expression. You don't see the circumstances. But what Jesus was going through was, you know, it was larger than life. It's larger than life. It was gonna bring us all to our salvation. Amen. Right. So with that, I'm going to go to Matthew 14:22-23 for my next point of fear here. Now this takes place after the feeding of the multitude of the 5,000 or plus, right? More than 5,000. Sorry, P, I didn't bring my light today. Use yours. So, in this setting, Jesus had just finished his miracle of feeding the 5,000. And we start here at verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, ah, I see a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come up to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? I think we could all relate to that, right? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, Truly, you are the Son of God. Now this is right after they've seen some pretty big miracles. So we'll go into a little description of this verse here. The disciples had embarked on a journey of approximately 5 miles, but after 3 miles or so, the wind started to blow. Every time their boat inched forward, the wind was contrary, blowing them backwards. The fourth watch is from 3 to 6 a.m. Jesus had told them to route across the lake around 5 or 6 p.m. He had gone on the mountain nearby to pray from early evening until 3 a.m. Now, why did Jesus ask his followers to struggle in isolation for up to 7 or 8 hours? If he had rescued them right away, the disciples might forget his intervention or perhaps assume that, given enough time, they could save themselves. Right? The Lord sometimes waits until his followers have exhausted their resources before he steps in. The disciples had fear when they saw someone walking across the water, not only because they suspected a ghost. Mark says it was also because their hearts were hard, even though they had just witnessed the miracles of feeding the multitude. They failed to apply that to this situation. It's really easy to take your eyes off of God, especially with so much going on in this world. Right? But when you read stuff like this, you have to just refocus yourself. Anytime you come into these situations in life where you don't understand what's going on out there, you don't understand why it's happening to you, you got to remember, he's just testing our faith. That's all it is. It's a test of faith. It's not supposed to be easy. If it was supposed to be easy, like I said, he would have flew down right off of the bridge, like, oh, let me stop these waves. Let me tell you right away. No, he's testing our faith, and we have to be strong to that. Mark says also, okay, I said that part, hard in their heart that they had just witnessed it. They failed to apply that to this situation. Peter was not acting foolishly, and this was not a daring stunt. It was obedience. When Jesus beckoned him to come, Peter willingly went. He had enough faith to get out of the boat and walk towards Jesus, something no prophet had ever done. What people focus on becomes magnified, especially in fearful circumstances, right? Peter decided to leave the apparent safety of the boat and rely totally on Jesus until the wind caught Peter's attention. Like I said, these things happen to us every single day. We just got to remember that he's there. He's with us. The difference between fear and faith is focus. It's focus. We cannot lose focus, you guys. We cannot lose focus, saints. They failed to experience the knot of walking on water and the hand of Jesus reaching out to them in their time of need. The disciples, they could have all jumped out of the boat. They could have all just, like, even after just watching Peter get out, like, you know, I'm going to get out too, right? Yeah. I want to walk on some water. It is tempting to look down on sinking Peter for his small faith, but at least he was willing to step out of the boat, saints, right? Every day we face these challenges in our lives, our personal fears, our personal trials, we have to be brave. We have to show, especially if you have children, if you have any family members who are watching you in your walk, you have to show. You have to show that I'm not strong by myself. I could go to the gym every day. I could go to work and do outrageous stuff at work that are hard to believe. But it's Him. It's all Him. It's all Him. And all we have to do is keep our focus on Him. And we could go through anything. We could beat out any trial in our life. Isaiah 41:10. I love this verse. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God turns from addressing the nations to speak to Israel. The Lord had chosen the Israelites for a special blessing, calling Israel to be my servant, a title of honor and high position. He would intervene mightily on their behalf and restore them as a nation. I see this verse as confirming that we need Him to fight all our battles in a spiritual sense as well as worldly battles. Right? Psalm 23, verse 4 through 6. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of my Lord forever. See, we're just His sheep, and He is our shepherd. He's leading the way. But if we don't follow, it's most likely to get lost. And personally, I could speak on that yes, I strayed. I was once the one sheep that got away. But guess what? The Lord left the 99. Okay, so the next thing I'm going to speak on is the fear of God. The Bible often speaks of fear of the Lord as a positive and desirable trait. This fear is not terror-stricken, dead, but rather a deep reverence, respect, and awe of God's power, holiness, and authority. It is described as the beginning of wisdom and a good to righteous living. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This verse presents the basic premise of the book. The Lord has all the answers to life. God is not only the beginning, but the source of all knowledge and the one who understands all mysteries. To fear the Lord is to have a sense of awe and utter respect for Him as the Holy One, so that when He speaks, it is the final word. The Bible acknowledges that fear, excuse me, I might have lost my place. Those who revere God in this way and His word can rightly understand the relationship to Him and the world He has made. Now for me, growing up in my home, my mother was my source of faith, and she led me to God through the Catholic Church. You know, I went to Sunday school, catechism, I went through communion, confession. So, not only my mother, my dad too, my grandparents, the Catholic life, you know, most of us here, we grew up in that. So we learn to fear God. So as a God-fearing child, growing up in the 80s, it was He was there for us, but there was a lot of temptation around there for little kids. You know, we got the early 80s was the rise of nudity in films, R-rated films. Arnold Schwarzenegger and all these action movies, you know, they have the nudity scenes. Parents are like, fast forward it or stop that or go over there, you know. As soon as they weren't around, we're like, let's go see what that was. But growing up as a God-fearing child, you knew it was wrong. You knew it was wrong. Us being little traviesos, still did it. You know? So he's we're here, right? You know. Just so being God-fearing and dealing with fear as a child, for me personally, I was really into like being protective for my little sister, my little cousins, you know, even my home. There was nights where my dad wasn't there and my brother was gone and it was just me and my mom and my sister. And I imagine being my youngest son Danny's age, 11, even 10. I had a wild imagination, and it's weird to say it, but I used to sleep with a butcher knife. It's what we had, you know. It's what we had in the kitchen. I was like, if somebody comes through the window and tries to get, you know, my mom, my sister, I want to be able to help the situation. So that's human fear. That's, you know, it's natural human fear. I did fear God also. So if I did something bad, I was remorseful for it. And my mom would remind me all the time, you know, God's watching. Anything you do, he's watching. And I still tell my children that when they're going through their stuff, God is watching. What happens in the dark always comes to light. Another protective thing I did as a young kid is when we'd walk home from school with my little cousins, you know, this was the time where vans were pulling up on kids and, you know, kidnapping them. I kept them in front of me. I walked around with rocks. I was like, okay, the van pulls up, you guys run, I'll throw the rocks, I'm right behind you. You know. Again, God was with us every walk home from school. Every night at home with my mom and my sister, he was there. His presence was there, looking over us. So that takes me to my next point. Fear as a natural human emotion. The Bible acknowledges that fear is a natural human emotion, especially in the danger of uncertainty. This is the one I already went through, right? See, I got myself mixed up here. Fear as an obstacle of faith. Excuse me, church. Hopefully soon I'll be able to get with Pastor Fee and we'll work it out where I can use the technology here. Fear as an obstacle of faith. The Bible frequently encourages believers to overcome fear and trust God's promises and presence. Fear can be a barrier to faith, preventing individuals from taking risk, stealing out in obedience, or experiencing the fullness of God's love. Psalm 40, verse 1 through 3. Psalm 40, verse 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and I will trust in the Lord. For me, like I said, growing up a God-fearing kid, it was always there, but as I got older, things in our family happened. My parents divorced when I was 12, 13 years old, and things just started to change, and I found myself getting into more trouble, getting arrested. And the more you hang out with kids who will get you in trouble, who are willing to break the law, you know, you get into a, you get into the, you're surrounded by people who are judging you, you know, like, are you a punk? Are you soft? Are you willing to do this or that? You know, eventually my crimes ended, landed me in the juvenile hall system, and I went to Rancho del Campo as a 15-year-old, and it's when I really started gangbanging, you know, in there. On the streets, I was still in my mom's house, and she wasn't having that stuff, you know. Outside of the house, it's a different story. You go out there, and you get into trouble. And like I said, it landed me in Rancho del Campo as a 15-year-old. And the environment is, like I said, you know, bunch of rough kids who might not have parents, who might not have guidance. They're just on the streets doing all this crazy stuff. You hear about their crimes, what they're in there for. You're like, all right, you know, well, I'm here for this. No, all right. Are you a punk? Are you a soft? You know, all that comes out every single day. It's a test. These guys are testing you every day. And eventually, I did prove that I was no punk, you know. Wasn't proving it to myself, I was proving it to these people. You know, as a kid, I knew, like I said, I was protective. You know, I wasn't a coward. I wasn't going to stray from danger if it was going to affect my family. So when it was me out there in those incarcerations, in those places, I stood up for not only myself, but my neighborhood, you know, which is, looking back now, really senseless, you know. You have your family that brought you up a certain way, and you know, you let pain and everything take you away from that, which your mom and your father instilled in your life. So that's the environment that influenced me to be a knucklehead, to be a fighter, to you can be a problem starter, you know. Get used to it. You're around the guy. Hey, isn't that guy from over there where you don't get along with? Like, yeah. What are you gonna do? And you go over there, and next thing you know, you're rolling around on the ground with this guy in the middle of the facility, and the police are yelling, and everybody get down, everybody, and you're still up there fighting with the guy, and they come and they knock you down. So That's where I ended up. That's the route I ended up taking. And when I got out of that place, my mom, she gave it another shot to try to calm me down. And eventually, just my own, you know, hurt and anguish, whatever I went through, I kept it going. And it just grew stronger. And so one day, July 2nd, 1996, it's a day that it stands out in my life because things changed. I've been praying for strength to be able to deliver this message. So this day I was just hanging out on my street where I lived, and some guy came by and he was like yelling his neighborhood at me, and I was like, what? Turned around and I yelled my neighborhood back, like, what's up? And he's like, I'll be back. And I said, well, I'll be here. I live here. I'm not going nowhere, you know? Me being territorial and tough, stuck around. The guy come back with his brother, and he had a bat. I had a little baseball bat, a little souvenir Padre bat. And the guy comes up, and he's trying to punk me and tell me where he's from. And I'm like, nothing but space and opportunity between us. What do you want to do, you know? And at that point, I kind of got the feeling. I was like, these guys are punks. Like, a real dude's just going to come up and hit you, and it's going to be, you know. So the friend I was with ran to get my brother, but my brother wasn't home. He was at work that day. And the guy he was with said, let's go, man. We'll come back. We'll go get the gauge. And I was like, these guys ain't going to do nothing, you know. And part of me wanted to believe that, but there was also a reality that maybe they are going to come back with something. And it's so at that time I was hanging out at my cousin's house a lot, Veronica, and her man at the time, we were hanging out like almost every day. He was from LA. He didn't know anybody down here in San Diego. And he was a guy, he was a crazy dude too, you know. He used to show me his 45. I knew he had it. So I went over there one, knocking on the door, like, they're not here. Where are they at? I can go back to my house, and I was waiting. And, you know, the waiting game is weird in this kind of situation. You want to be able to, you know, be comfortable, but I couldn't. So I went back. I think I went back three times, and they weren't there. And the crazy part about that is my cousin was in labor that day. She had her daughter that day. And thank God that's what was going on that day, because this thing could have been worse. So fast forward, I go back to waiting on my driveway in the front. I had me a baseball bat, like I said, and next thing you know, I see these four guys coming up. And they had bats, golf clubs, and it was just me and my friend. And they tried to, you know, they tried to get close, but I was standing my ground with my bat. I wasn't trying to be scared. I wasn't scared of the situation. I was just being protective, you know. I was trying to hold my ground. And every little thing they were trying to do, it didn't make sense to me. Like I said earlier, space and opportunity, like, you're not doing anything. You're just jumping around. So they finally figured they weren't going to get close enough, I don't know. And they started to walk away, like, you know, talking smack like they had punked me or whatever. And the guy that started all the problems, he turned around and told me one more time, "I'm Mr. This from here." And I said, "Man, shut up. I'm still Lil Grumps. This is from Lomas, and you ain't doing nothing." You know? And the guy heard that, and the guy said, "Man, F this dude, man, blast him." And I was like, "What? Like, you guys ain't gonna blast nobody." So the guy comes running up. He was on the corner the whole time. He didn't even come up with them. And he had a shotgun in his hand, and I didn't believe it. Trying to be tough. But it's a painful memory, because this is something that not only I had to go through, but I put my mother, my father. And so the guy's running up, and I'm standing my ground. I'm not going nowhere. Like, I'm already here. If you're gonna shoot me, you're gonna shoot me. Until my friend pushed me, I didn't budge. My friend pushed me and said, "Run." So I ran, and I'm running. And I don't know if you guys ever heard the sound of a 12 gauge. Boom. There was four booms that day. And every boom, I felt, I'm getting hit. And if you ever watched a movie, it only takes one of those, right? Yeah. One of those, and you're knocked down. You're dead. Well, I got hit four times that day. I ran into my house, closed the door. I thought they were going to come in and finish the job, but they didn't. Called 911, threw the phone on the ground, and ambulance came, picked me up. I was in terrible pain. But where God intervened was when these guys loaded that shotgun, they loaded the shells with birdshot shells. So whoever knows anything about ammunition, birdshot is all, it's all BBs. A handful of BBs per shell. So four shells times however many BBs per shell is what I got sprayed with. At the time, the noise, the trauma of the whole situation, it all added to like something a 16-year-old shouldn't have to go through, you know? The ambulance ride, the being in the hospital, it was all crazy for me. It was something that really changed my life. But when I think back, the most emotional and hard point of it was my mom showing up. She had went to go pick my brother up from work, and when she got back, got yellow tape, police. Everybody's outside of the house. They're in front of my house. Like I said, I've been praying for the strength to tell this story because it's where God's fear kind of went away from me. I survived this gunshot. But no more than 6 months later, I found myself at a party, big old fight. I got stabbed, and I was in the hospital again on an ambulance ride again. And that's when I broke. I was done. I said, I'm done. I'm not trying. You know, like, what am I going to try for? People are this way in this world. I got to defend myself. I'm not going to keep being a victim. You know, if they're going to fight like this, I'm going to fight like this too. I'm going to get a gun. I'm going to have it every day. You come my way, I'm going to use it. Guess what? God had a different plan. Yeah. Through the muck and the mire, through the muck and the mire, God was with me all the way. He was with me through everything I ever been through. Gang fights, shootings, stabbings, violence, drugs, you know, fornication, anything you could think of. I was in the middle of it. I didn't have that fear of God anymore. And that made me dangerous, not only to myself, but to my family, to my soul, to the well-being of my future. I got stabbed again when I was 20 or 19. And that was probably worse than the other two. And I survived it. And while I was healing up from that, I took a little time not to hang out every day, maybe like a week or so. I spent a lot of time with Judy. Judy had came into my life. And I finally thought I found my purpose when she told me that she was going to have a baby and I was going to be a father. It was hard to imagine myself being a father because, like I said, I had already given up on life. I was already done. I had two destinations, death or prison or both, and I was fine with it. It's what I sacrificed. But like I said, God was with me on all that, through all of it. Second Timothy 1:7. Everybody should know this. Everybody should know this verse. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. All open doors offer two choices, to walk by faith or to be controlled by fear. Persecution, infighting, false teaching all threaten the Ephesian church that young Timothy shepherded and will threaten Christians in the last days. The fearful will drop out, but those who grab hold of the courage, compassion, love, self-control, sound mind, that God makes available will stand fast until God completes his work in them. This verse is very personal to my walk and was a turning point in my life. So when I say in fear, to fear or not to fear, that's what I went through. I went through two lives. I feared God, and then I didn't. But coming full circle, I fear him. I don't fear him physically. I fear him because he's the only one that can grant me my salvation, an eternal salvation, and a ticket to heaven. Where that's the grand prize of this life. That's what we should all be fighting for. Not only for ourselves, but for our family. If anybody could teach their kids anything in this world, is to teach them who Jesus is. Just like my mom did. Like I said, I almost didn't even want to bring up all of this, you know, because it is hard for me. I didn't realize how hard it was for me until the other day when I sat down with my sister and talked to her about it. But it's something that I have to learn to speak on, because it's my testimony. It's how I got here. It's how I'm behind this podium where our pastor has granted me the chance to be able to do God's work for all the places I've been. God's held me up and he's walked along, he's carried me along everything I've been through. I've been through, like I said, be surprised. I don't think we have enough time to go through all that, but I just thank you, Pastor Fee, and I would just like to close out just a quick prayer. If you could just all bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with hearts full of gratitude and reverence. You are the Almighty, the Creator of all things, and we praise you for being our refuge and our strength, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that no matter what comes against us, we can stand firm knowing that you are with us today. We cast every fear, worry, and anxiety at your feet, fully trusting in your promise that we have no reason to fear because you are beside us, fighting our battles, Lord. You know every obstacle we face. You see every mountain that stands in our way, and we declare that today no mountain is too big for you. We call on your mighty power for breakthroughs in every aspect of our lives. Our families believe you are the one who makes a way when there seems to be no way. We trust that you are opening doors no one could shut, moving every obstacle and turning every situation in our favor. Father, you are our shield and our defender. When you are with us, we cannot be shaken. We declare today that fear has no hold on us. You are our strength. You are upholding us with your victorious right hand. Fill us with your peace, Father, that surpasses all understanding and enable us to walk by faith, not by sight. Thank you, Father, for all your love and mercy and praise. We praise you in the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And we all say, Amen.
Come on, give God another shout of praise. Beautiful message. I think we all received it, brother. Many of us, maybe most of us, didn't grow up in environments like you did, but for some of you that have, we can acknowledge the pain and the agony and the evilness of it. That how when God delivers us, it's a mighty thing. And God delivered you, brother. He delivered you. And now look what he's doing now. You're becoming a minister of the gospel. That's right. That's right. And so I'm going to ask Brother Louis Barraza to come up. And he's going to close out with his word. Amen. Let's receive him by saying praise the Lord.
Secret. Good morning, brothers and sisters. We're getting closer to, well, first of all, I just want to say, Brother Marty, that was quite a testimony. We thank God that you're saved and you're here right now. Okay? That was very, very heavy right there. But, you know, we love you. Definitely, brother. We're getting closer to one of my favorite holidays, Independence Day. And it's not the movie. I'm talking about 4th of July. Right? Can you guys hear me well? Yeah. All right. So I'm going to start right now, but I want to ask those who have served, thank you, brother, served our military or our veterans, if you could please stand up. Do we have any here? All right, let's give them a hand. All right, we want to acknowledge you all because you fought for our great nation here and our freedoms here. So thank you for your duty, your service. Appreciate you guys so much. I'm right. Amen. So I think I'm going to get started right now. So I want to go ahead and open up in prayer this morning. Okay. So let's bow our heads and then do this prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here this morning to receive your word. I pray that you open up our hearts to receive this message, that we want to serve you to the highest point we can, Father. And for those that are here, first time visiting too, we appreciate you coming to Amazing Grace Familia. For those that couldn't make it today, we also pray for you that you'll make it in the near future and much sooner. We pray for the world. Even those that are even behind bars, behind those walls, our prayers can reach you too. We also love you. We also keep you in mind too and keep you in prayer with our God, Almighty God. Thank you, in Lord Jesus' name we pray to you. Amen. Amen. All right. So I'm a messenger in training right now, or a mailman in training right now, so please bear with me on this. But thank you, God. Thank you, God. Today's message is based on something that I struggle with, we all struggle with, or we have gotten better at, okay? Whether you're at work, because we all go to work or do some kind of work, or in public, or in the morning drive, that one right there, or with your loved ones in the house, or with your family, okay? So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about, and this is a great deal, is forgiveness, okay? So let's go ahead and discuss that real quick. We're going to go to the Webster Dictionary first. Okay, so what is forgiveness? Okay, it's a noun. The act of forgive, the state of being forgiven. Number two, disposition or willingness to forgive. But biblically, it's a pardon, a fresh start, a new beginning, lifting of a heavy burden, canceling a debt. A key that unlocks the door of resentment and of handcuffs of hatred also. Okay. So, on biblical terms, I'm going to be speaking in biblical terms, not on the Webster's Dictionary. So, let's flow with this. For Matthew 6:14, and this is key right here. Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So that right there, that's right there in this verse, that's your ticket right here to get to the kingdom. If we're not forgiving each other, we're not going to be forgiven. And we're at big risk right there. All right? Then this is mentioned from one end of the Testament to the other end of it as well. Okay. That's very key. I mean, we could all get heated any moment because we have feelings where we're not perfect, obviously, but we do know that we are children of God as well. So if God designed you, my brothers and sisters, and myself, who is not perfect, how can I disrespect my neighbor, my brother, my sister? I'm not one to talk or even challenge that. So moving on into Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Okay. Let me go ahead and open up here. Matthew 13. Got a second, I lost my mark right here. Mm-hmm. And I found my mark. All right, and then this was taught by Jesus right here. So in this manner, therefore, we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day on our daily bread, and forgive us of our debt, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So, in this right here, the reason I read this is because even Jesus also taught forgiveness in the Lord's Prayer when he was teaching the apostles how to pray. And that was very key right there. It's one of the many, many passages that's written in the Bible here. So we know, talking about our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, on his last minutes on the cross, Jesus Christ was still demonstrating love towards us, no matter how heavy our sin was. That he wanted us to copy the same love. Now, while hanging on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Forgive them. Easily he could have called down his legion of angels to destroy all the Romans. Anybody was right there just beating them. But instead he decided to let them kill him so that the Romans could be redeemed. Okay. Let's look at it this way. Not only was Jesus crucified, but let's talk, let's do a little bit of street talk real quick. Growing up, I'm sure some of us have gone through it, maybe not, but you ever gone through an area, a neighborhood, and you got jumped, right? And how you felt at the moment when you did. And you want to go ahead and retaliate, not forgive. Let's just go back. Something similar our brother Marty was, you know, mentioning earlier in the sermon. I know I've gone through that, but look. What I'm trying to say here, it's not about me, and it's not about anybody else, but Jesus got jumped by a whole entire town. He got a whooping, a really, really ugly whooping that none of us can endure. We would have already kind of died the first 5 minutes. And still hangs on the cross and say, hey, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Give them mercy. And imagine me just getting jumped, and I'm just ready to go ahead and I'm not even a gang member. I'm just a solo artist too. I'm not saying this because I'm bigger than someone, but I'm saying like there's individuals out there that you don't want to temper as well, but I don't live that life. I'm a Christian man. I don't want to do that. I don't. So moving on to another scripture here I wanted to pick up with us. For your sin, for Isaiah 43:25. Now, I'm bringing up these verses kind of quick, I know. But, you know, if you could just jot them down, or if you want to take notes on that, it's fine. Isaiah 43:25. For our sin and iniquity, I will forgive and remember no more. No more, okay? Piggyback off of that one right there. Acts 3:19. This is God talking right here. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. And on this right here, he didn't say he'll erase your sins. He said blotted. And we all know the difference here. You know, you erase something, you can kind of still, I can still make out what it says there. But when you blot something out, it's to the point that it's, you can't make out what it says or what it was a moment ago. You know, you don't. You won't remember. You can't go back to this page, and you know it's done with. Yeah, like that. Simple as like it never happened. You know. So, Acts 3:19 is big. Listen, brothers and sisters. I also am not perfect. I don't withhold forgiveness. I struggle with it. But I can cool off after maybe 7 seconds. Because it's not that big of a deal. Alright? So let's always take the initiative to make things right and reconcile. I got something, a message for the husbands out here. If you are, or you know, whatever the case is, just this is a strong message because this will help you on the long future. For the husbands, have loved and have mercy on your wife. Have mercy on your wife and forgive. Okay? Not doing so will hinder your prayers. God will not hear them. It'll be like Teflon, you know. Back this up with the biblical scripture here. We're going to go back to the book of Peter 3:7. And this is for the husbands again. Husbands, Peter 3:7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, them meaning the wife. With understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Okay, that's kind of like what I mentioned a moment ago. You know, give honor, give understanding. It's similar to what I mentioned earlier. If my brother here is imperfect right here, and he stumbled and whatever the case is, let's forgive him too. The wife, very important right there. That right there, we learned that. We took some lessons from Pastor Fee before we got married, Mary Lee and I. And this was very key right here to the relationship. We have to forgive each other. There's no point in thinking of going to the bar and the problems will be erased. No, it'll make them worse. Believe that. Okay? So, all right. Yeah. There we go. I'm gonna open to a verse I kind of saved here to the side, but I actually have it on the iPhone, so please let me open this up. Okay, we use our phones also for learning, right? Okay, so with forgiveness here, another thing that will help us understand why we forgive, because just saying forgive is just not enough. So let me go to Ephesians 6:12. And it reads like this: For we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness and high places. So, for this verse here, we're not battling each other. We are of value. You know, we're against the evil. Any evil doing, any evil spirits that are trying to cancel us out, because the devil wants to break us all apart as a family or as a brother one to another. We're a family regardless, through the blood of Christ, right? Amen. So, am I supposed to punch someone out every time there's an error going on? No, first of all, God made that brother or sister. How am I going to disturb his work? I have no right to that. Got to learn forgiveness. So, carrying on this, get reconciled before you believe God is going to hear out your prayer. God will not receive the offering of a phony, unforgiving spirit. Okay? So why forgive? Why? Why forgive? Let me go ahead and answer that again. For your benefit, not theirs. Okay? But forgiveness doesn't mean that so-and-so told me they're, you know, sorry, they messed up. It means I did that willingly before they even spoke, okay? Because I canceled it out for them, okay? So, yeah, if you want to be forgiven and enter the kingdom of God, you must. So, here's another thing here. How many times have you forgiven someone, all right? And you're just like... Why? Again, you know? Again. Here he comes again. What now? All right. So, you know what I mean? And I loaned that person $80. Friday came by, I didn't hear from you or something, right? Okay. So here's the answer, okay? Let's go to Matthew 18:22. It is Jesus. Jesus tells Peter that he should forgive someone not just 7 times, but 70 times 70. This is a symbolic number representing limitless forgiveness. It's not a literal number of 490, you know, and you're up to 491 and that's it. You know, it doesn't mean that. So we have to, we will, limitless, just like our Father will. Because I know I've gone way past 490 and He's forgiven me so far. Okay? It's extent with no measure. All right. And you don't carry this on too long, too, whenever there's a trespass, you know, from one another. Don't procrastinate on times to make things right. Don't do that. Like, or don't tell yourself, I will talk to them sometime. You know, it doesn't work that way. Be reconciled. Do it now. So today, I want us to, all of us, including myself, I'm in the same, you know, in the same ball game here. Let's challenge ourselves to pick up a phone and call someone you should forgive. I know I have a brother you guys haven't met. And I did that maybe 4 years ago. I called him. He was confused why I called him too. With a forgiveness call and kind of it. So I didn't have to explain so much to him. He couldn't understand it why. For the moment, I told him that. We were in communication still. You know, he's I'm a little more softy than him. But at least the talk is there. It's open. I did that. That was a hard one right there. You know, we grew up as a competitor brothers, you know. I built this car. Oh, I built this one. You got that, and I got that too. Well, let's do that. We should have just been basketball players. We would have been a better team, you know. So, and this right here, God leads the way. Let's exercise wisdom with biblical forgiveness, okay, brothers and sisters. So, that's the message I have for you all for the moment. And always take the time to make things right, okay? You don't want to take that to the grave with you because we're not here tomorrow. I don't want to carry a burden in me and my soul down in a box 6 feet under, and I'm taking that still with me. Or the individual, you know, you didn't get a chance to go ahead and make that bridge, okay? Tomorrow's not promised. The next 30 minutes might not, okay? But let's do this right away, okay? So, I don't know if you guys smell something right now, but I know Pastor Fee, well, that's his line, so I'm kind of taking it for him today. but it smells like something delicious out there our sisters put together, right? I'm sorry about that. I had to take that from you. But all right, well, we'll close up today with this. Thank you, our brothers and sisters. Brother Marty, thank you. You know, that was very deep. And again, for everybody celebrating Independence Day, that's my favorite holiday, cooking out, hanging out. You don't got to buy no one a gift. Let's just bring some meat, right? And I'll be 46 tomorrow, not 28, okay? Thank you. So let's close this out in prayer, okay? For those who want to receive Christ, let us pray this prayer, okay? Let's bow our heads and repeat this, okay? Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I believe in your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. I believe on the third day you rose again to give me eternal life. I ask you, Lord Jesus, the God of all mercy, to forgive me of my sins and come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, we say amen. 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 Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Thank you.
I'll get that one at 28 thing in my head. I was like,
no. No. I'm better off right now. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right.
Bless you.
All right. Let's get Brother Marty back up here.
Pastor Fee said, I'm handing over all the situations to you guys today. Except for the BDL talk, we're going to share that. I'm going to give you guys our benediction today. Thank you for coming out today. If today was your first time visiting, this is our home. This is where we worship, and it might not be what you're used to, but like I said, this is our home. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace. Thank you and have a beautiful day. Thank you, YouTube and Facebook.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.